Greetings. The lecture is on evaluation and searching, requirements, criteria, and I'm Tefko Sarasovic. The central ideas in the lecture is that evaluation is an integral part of searching, but there are a number of contexts and approaches to evaluation, there are a number of requirements for evaluation, and there are a number of criteria used in evaluation, and we are going to cover these in the lecture. Okay, let's go to the table of contents. We have 37 slides, 10 of which are titles and pictures, so in effect we have 27 slides. And we have four parts. Part number one is importance and definitions with four slides. Part number two, context and approaches with five slides. Then we have part number three with requirements for evaluation with 10 slides. And finally, part number four with about web evaluation with seven slides. And we do have some very pretty pictures at the end as well. So let's go to the first part, which four slides on importance and definition and the place of evaluation. Well, as usual, first we'll deal with definitions. Dictionary provides us the following definition of evaluation. It's assessment of value, the act of considering or examining something in order to judge its value, quality, importance, extent, or condition. In searching, we have a somewhat more specific definition. Evaluation is assessment of search results on basis of given criteria as related to users and use. These criteria may be specified by users or derived from professional practice, other sources, or standards. Results of searching are judged, and with them it's evaluated and judged the whole process, including the searcher and searching. Well, what's the importance of evaluation? It's an integral part of searching. It's always there. We want it or not, evaluation is there. No matter what, the user will in some way or another evaluate what is obtained. That evaluation could be informal and it could be formal. But evaluation is also a growing problem for all. Why? Because information explosion makes finding good stuff very difficult. So evaluation is also growing because of this difficulty. And the last point on about the importance of evaluation is that formal evaluation is part of professional jobs and skills. It's part of your professional job and part of your professional skill as a searcher. However, evaluation requires knowledge of evaluation criteria, measures, and methods. And I would like to add this important part is that being able to do and capable to do evaluation is more and more prized. What's the place of evaluation? Here I have a circle feedback type of a circle. We have a user. That user produces an information need. A search is conducted. The results are obtained. And the results, no matter what, are always evaluated. On the basis of that evaluation, the user may change something in the need. The search may change. The new results are obtained. And again, they are evaluated. So there is, as I pointed out, evaluation is always present, we wanted it or not. So let's talk about what are some general applications to evaluation. Evaluation, as we discuss it here, is applicable to results from a variety of information systems. It's applicable, for instance, from results from information retrieval systems such as Dialog and Scopus. It is applicable to sources that are included in digital libraries, for instance, to sources that are included at Rutgers. It is applicable to reference services, for instance, in libraries, or to reference services that are commercially available on the web. And this particularly applicable evaluation is to web sources as found on many domain sites. However, there are many approaches and many criteria and measures and methods to evaluation. Some of them are similar and can be adapted for specific source and information system. And some of them are new, and we are going to explore those. So let's go to the second part with 5 slides on the context and approaches to evaluation and the broad orientation to evaluation. Well, we have 3 general broad contexts within which evaluation can and was done. And we can have evaluating the role that an information system or an information search plays as related to 1, society, this is the broadest one, to a community, to a culture, to a discipline. Another one is to an institution, to a university, to an organization and a company. And finally, the most narrow one is on the evaluation can be done in relation to individuals, that is users and potential users or non-users. These different roles, society, institution, individuals, relate to broad but hard questions as to what context to choose for evaluation. And let's examine some of these questions that are asked in different contexts. On the social level, which is the broadest, is the question that is being asked, how well does an information system, how well does a search output from an information system support social demands and roles? It's hardest to evaluate. We can ask the question, and it has been done, and research was done, for instance, how well does the Medline, medical databases produced by National Library of Medicine, how well does this support health and medical professions in the United States and elsewhere? On the institutional level, the questions are, how well does it support a search or a system, the institutional organizational mission and objectives? And it's very much tied to objective of the institution. It's very hard to evaluate. On that level, that is the institutional level, we can certainly ask a question, how well does the digital library at Rutgers support the teaching, service, and research of Rutgers University, where teaching, services, research are the basic objectives of the university? And finally, on the individual level, we ask the questions, how well does it support information needs and activities of people? And most evaluation is this in this context, and this is what you and this lecture is mostly interested in, how to evaluate on this individual level. How well does a search support the user that for which you are answering the questions and producing the search? Let us talk now about the approaches to evaluation. There are quite a few of them. There are many approaches. There are quantitative and qualitative approaches. There are approaches as to effectiveness and efficiency. And no matter what approach, there is no perfect approach. Each approach has strong points and it has weak points. The systems approach is most prevalent. It's one of the approaches, not the only approach, but is most prevalent approach. And in the system approach, the central question is being asked, how well does a system, is a question of effectiveness. How well does a system perform that for which it was designed? How well did the search that you did perform that for which it was designed, that means asked? And evaluation is here related to objectives and requires choices. Which objectives, which functions to evaluate. But we have a number of other approaches, and I'm going to mention only 2 of them. One is an economics approach, and in the economics approach, the questions for evaluation that were going to be asked are hard questions of efficiency, whatever you do and did for the system or for the search, at what cost. The cost can be not only in dollars, but also in effort, time, which are also cost. And then the hard question of cost effectiveness, a cost for a given level of effectiveness. Then there is another approach, ethnographic approach, where the practices and effects within an organization or community are observed, and where learning and using practices and comparisons are done. So we can look at how the digital library is, for instance, used among the students in at our department, As I said, the systems approach is prevalent. It is used in many different ways and for many different purposes. And it's used in evaluation of inputs to systems and contents. It's used in evaluations of operations of a system. It's used in relation to use of a system. And it's also used in relation to the outputs from a system. And that's what you are interested in, the outputs, the searches, what it came out of your searches. So the evaluation is used of search outputs for given users and use. And it's applied on the individual level. Remember the three levels that I talked about, the social, the institutional, and the individual, is very much this system approach on the evaluation of search outputs for given users. And it's derived from assessment from users on the, or from their surrogates, for instance, searches from you. And this is what you as a searcher will do most often. And this is what you will apply in your projects, the evaluation of search outputs for your user. Okay, let's go to the third part of this lecture. And we have 10 slides for that. This is the largest part of the lecture, and we are going to be talking about requirements for evaluation. No evaluation can be without them. We have five basic requirements for system evaluation, and let's rehearse those. Once a context is selected, then we need to specify all five. Number one, we have to have or specify a construct. We have a system, we have a process, we have a source, we have an output that we have retrieved. So it could be a given IR system, it could be a website, it could be a digital library. In the construct, you are asking the question, what are you going to evaluate, and you establish those. The second requirements, for that given construct, you have to have certain criteria to reflect objectives of searching or objective of that system. But you are interested particularly in the objective of searching. And these could be relevance, utility, satisfaction, accuracy, time, cost, and so forth. So the question that you are asking about the criteria on basis of what will you make judgments about this particular construct. The third thing that you have to have in any evaluation is you have to have a measure or measures. And these have to reflect the criteria in some quantity or in some quality. These measures could be precision, recall, various Likert scales, 1 to 7, dollar amounts, effort amounts, time, or so on. So the question that you are asking is, how are you going to express the judgment, the measure of these criteria about these constructs? Then we have the fourth requirement for evaluation. In order to evaluate and use this particular measure, you have to have an instrument. You have to have a recording by users or users' surrogates that is you. On the measure. So the measuring instrument, in this case people, express if something is relevant or not. They're kind of doing it on a scale. They're marking stuff on the scale. They're indicating cost and so on. So the people are instruments in this case, and the question that you have is who will be? And the fifth and the last is, in order to do this evaluation, you need a methodology. You need a set of procedures for collecting and analyzing the data. The question here that you are asking is, how are you going to get this done? How are you going to assemble the stuff to evaluate the constructs? How are you going to do the search? How are you going to choose what criteria? How are you going to determine what measures to use to reflect the criteria? And then how are you going to establish who will be the judge, and how will the judgment be done, and how will you analyze the results, and how will you finally verify validity and reliability of these results? What I'm saying here is that no matter what, and I'll repeat that again a little bit later, no matter what evaluation you do, formal or informal, these five things are going to be present. even if you don't think about it, you will always have to have a construct that you will evaluate. You always have certain criteria, even if you never think about it. All what you can do, will do, for instance, will ask, is this relevant? Well, this is relevance is the criteria. You'll have certain measures to reflect these criteria. You'll have the measuring instrument, your users, and you'll have a methodology. Even if you just present a printed output, that will be a methodology that you're using. So let's go in some detail to each of these five because of their importance that you should be considering in any and all of evaluation. Well, but let me even talk a little bit more about the requirements. There is an ironclad rule. No evaluation can proceed if not all five of these are present. And sometimes these specifications are informal and implied, but they're always there. Okay, first, the constructs. But first, a sip of tea. Green tea with honey. And lemon. I always like lemon in my tea. Anyhow, let's go back to constructs. In information retrieval research, in the former research, that is mostly is done evaluation of various information retrieval systems and algorithms and test collection, test questions. There is a text retrieval conference, TREC, where they do annually evaluation of, teams do annually evaluation of their algorithms and interactions. And this is very much reported in research literature. I'm mentioning this here now because out of that research is going to come the type of information retrieval systems that you're going to be using in a few years. So it's well worth sometimes looking at that, what is coming out of the constructs of information retrieval systems. But in practice, the constructs are on use and user level. And it's mostly done on operational collections and systems on websites. For instance, the constructs are the dialogue, the LexisNexis, Scopus, and various files. And what you do is evaluation and comparisons of various contents or various procedures and commands in these files. You're doing evaluation of user proficiencies and characteristics, evaluation of interactions. And most of this, when it's done formally, is reported in professional literature, and it's a large part of professional literature, and it's well worth following this up to keep up with it. The second part, remember, the first one was constant, the second criteria, and we will have three slides about criteria because of their importance. It's in information retrieval. Relevance is the basic and most used criteria, and it's related to the problem at hand. Relevance is that which is related to the problem at hand. But on the user and use level, we have many other criteria, such as utility, satisfaction, success, time, value, impact, and so forth. For web sources, we have all those plus evaluation of quality, usability, penetration, accessibility, and so forth. And we are going to rehearse those in some details in the last part of this lecture. And finally, for digital libraries, we have all those criteria plus the criteria of usability. I mentioned relevance, so let's talk a little bit about it, although we already talked about relevance before, but being such an important criteria for evaluation of searching and searching, let's talk about it a little bit more here too. Using relevance as a criteria has great many strengths. Some of them is that everybody intuitively understands what it means. People know what it means. You don't have to explain to anybody what the criteria of relevance is. So it's universally applied in all information systems, and all of them, for instance, rank outputs by certain level of certain kind of relevance and so forth. But there are weaknesses to this criteria as well. First, it's not static. It changes dynamically. It's hard to pin down what was relevant yesterday. Okay, today I learned a little bit more, is less relevant or not at all, and I'm looking for something else. And another weakness is that relevance is tied to cognitive structure and situation of a user. And there are possible disagreements among them. So relevance is also an area of study. It's a basic notion of the information science, and as a result of that, there are a great many studies done about various aspects of relevance, and if you want to learn more about these, it's well worth looking at that literature. However, and there is another aspect of relevance as a criteria, that there is no such thing as, there is not one relevance, there are a number of them, a number of different types exist. So each of these types indicates different relations. So we have to specify which type of relevance are we looking at when we are dealing with evaluation based on the criterion of relevance. Okay? The second criteria that we are going to mention here is usability, because it's a widely used criteria, particularly in web evaluation, so it's increasingly used for websites and digital libraries. The International Standards Organization provided a general definition. Here's the definition, quote, extent to which a product can be used by specified users to achieve specified goals with effectiveness, efficiency, and satisfaction in a specified context of use, end of quote. Well, it covers actually usability, a number of criteria, and they're used in order to enhance user performance, in order to study the ease of operations, in order to study whether it's serving the intended purpose, in order to study how easy learnability, that means how easy it's to learn or memorize, in order also to study lostness meaning how often does one get lost in using a certain website, in order to study satisfaction, and quite a few more other things. Well, let's go to the third part. Remember, we covered the constructs, we covered the criteria. The third part, it is measures. In information retrieval, the most prevalent measures that are being used are precision and recall, and they are preferred all over, and we treated those in unit four. These two, precision and recall, are based on relevance, and they could be, but the relevance could be two or more dimensions. It could be relevant or not relevant, relevant, partially relevant, or relevant on a scale of 1 to 7. We have no problems in establishing precision, but we have great problems in establishing recall. So we have great problems to find out what is relevant in a file. Well, we can do that by giving the user the whole file, which is impossible and impractical. So we have to do certain kinds of estimates. So we do, for instance, broad and narrow searching, and then we provide a union of many outputs, and we obtain relevance judgments on these outputs, and then we do relevant recall for a given kind of a search or given kind of a tactic to compare to the union. Well, we talk now first about measures in relation to information retrieval. Let us now talk a little bit about measures in relation to the use and user level. And most of the time we use measures that are Likert scales. Likert scales are those that provide semantic differentials of scale 1 to 7, for instance, satisfaction on a scale of 1 to 7, where 1 is not satisfied and 7 is completely satisfied. It's an observational measures, but we are also using observational measures. So we can use overlap, and in the previous bibliometric searches, I ask you also to look at overlap at output on the user and user's level between different systems, and we can use also the measures of consistency. Okay, let's go now to the fourth part of this we covered, and this is the instruments. As I mentioned, people are used an instrument. They judge relevance, they judge a scale, they record what's on the scale. But the question that we have to ask people who? People could be end users, but it could be surrogates. It could be analysts. It could be domain experts. It could be librarians. And it could be you as a searcher. So with these instruments, we ask the questions, how do relevance and utility judges affect the results? And who knows, they do affect. There have been a number of studies that have been done and have been shown, for instance, here is one effect, reliability of judgments, that who are experts on the question will agree something like 50 to 60%. People who are experts, they will judge much more stringently. People who are lesser experts will agree less, and their judgment will be much looser. People who are not experts at all, you know, they'll disagree most, and the judgment will be the reliability of judgment would be quite low. Okay, and finally, the last one is the requirement. It's the methods, which includes the design, the procedures that we use for observation, that we use for experiment, and that we use for analysis of results. And there are a number of challenges as to the validity, as to reliability, as to reality. So when we are specifying something as to methods, for instance, as to a collection that we are going to use, how do we select, what size of our output we're going to provide to user, and how we're going to select that output for which the user will provide certain judgments. That's a method question. How are we going to generate the request and the query? How are we going to conduct the search? And how are we going to obtain the results, and how are they going to be judged, and how is the feedback going to be performed? How are we going to do analysis? We can simply do analysis by counting them 5 relevant and 10 not relevant. What kind of tools we use for analysis? We can do statistic tools on these 5 and 10. And then we will certainly do certain interpretation, and we will ask whether they are warranted and generalized. So what I have done in this particular section is specify to you 5 criteria, the 5 requirements, the constructs, the criteria, the measures, the measuring instruments, the methods that you have always to specify. I also pointed out to you, and I want to do a repoint, and this is no matter what evaluation you do, when you submit the 5, 10, 15 documents to your users, you are going to use every one of these 5 requirements, even if you don't think about it, so you might as well think about it and specifying well. Okay? Let's go to the last part of our lecture with 7 slides, and we are going to specifically talk about web evaluation and the criteria use in the web. Well, the evaluation of web sources is becoming a very important part of librarians and searches. And why is evaluation, and not only these, many, many other professions are being involved in this. Why? Well, one of the reason, and the main reason, is that the web is value neutral. By value neutral, I mean that web has everything from diamonds to trash. Since this is so, evaluation becomes imperative. As a matter of fact, it becomes, if you are dealing and searching web sources, it becomes a primary application and skill of professional searches of you. Well, web evaluation also continues and expands on evaluation of standards and skills in library traditions. So, librarians and librarianship have long been concerned with the evaluation of sources for the collections. Now they are being concerned with the evaluation of the web. A number of criteria are used for evaluation of web sources, and most of these are derived from traditional criteria, but they are now modified for the web. New criteria are added. And the criteria about for evaluation of web sources could be found on many library sites. For instance, Berkeley has a whole tutorial and written criteria to use. So the librarians provide the public and to colleagues with web evaluation tools and guidelines and part of their services, and it's now becoming an added value-added part of what libraries and librarians and searchers are doing. Okay, I will now rehearse 9 criteria for evaluation of the web, but these are also can be and are you being used in evaluation of digital library sources. One of the criteria is about the content. What? So the evaluation concerns is what subjects or topics are covered by the site, at what level, at what depth, how exhaustively, what's the specificity of that content, or how was it organized, then what's the timeliness of the content, how it's up to date, what are the revisions and when were done, how accurate is that particular content. Here's another criteria, it's why was this all done? What's the intention? What's the purpose of that content? What's the scope? What's the viewpoint of it? And you certainly will be looking at various viewpoints depending of the same type of a content, depending of who put it up. Another set of criteria deals for what was it done? Who are the, for what users and for what use? Who is the intended audience? What needs are being satisfied? What use is intended or what use is possible? And how appropriate is for given users and uses? Still another set of criteria deals with who has done it. And this is an extremely important one, the authority. Who were the authors? Who are the institutions or the company or who's the publisher? Who's the creator? What authority does that author, institution, company, publisher, creator have? What's the reputation? What's the credibility? What's the trustworthiness? Was there any refereeing? How persistent is it? Will it be around? Is it transparent who done it? This is one of the great frustrations that people find, and especially those that want to evaluate, that quite a few sites that looked good, but then you are trying to look and said, who done it? Who are these people? What authority do they have? And there is a great difference between an authority of a medical site that's put up by Mayo Clinic or a medical site that's about rheumatism, and there are tons of them that are done by quacks. Another criteria is the treatment. How is the content treatment? How is it readable? What's the style? What's the organization? What's the clarity? What's the physical treatment? What's the format, layout, legibility, visualization, usability? I would like to stress here one thing. You see, this is just one treatment. Usability, format is just one aspect on evaluation. And great many people, including professional searchers, fall for using that as a major treatment, saying that the colors are not really nice, the font is not really big enough to read. Yes, that may be correct, but that is but one and sometimes not even the major aspect of doing it. All these others have to be taken into account when we look at usability. Then another set of criteria is about where. It's about access. How it is available, how it is accessible, what restrictions do they have, how about links, how persistent are the links, how stable are they. There's nothing more frustrating than going to a site and saying, yes, that's what I found, and then go to the links and links are dead because it wasn't updated for God knows how long. That includes sometimes my own site. Well, another criteria is functionality. And how was it done? Does it have searching? And how easy or how is it to be done? Navigation, does it include browsing? Does it have feedback? What kind of links? And what kind of an output is it provided? How is that output organized? What features does it have? Variations, how do you control that output? Still another, it's being done about the effort, the economics. How much time and effort do you spend in learning it? And how much time and effort do you spend in using it? And what is the price? And what are the total cost? And what are the cost benefits? And as I said, the price can be in dollars, but the price can be in other aspects, such as effort and time, which in effect come to the dollars. And finally, the last one that I have raised here is in comparison to what else. You always evaluate websites not only for themselves, but you compare them to some other sources, to the wider world. How do they compare to other similar sources? Where and how similar or better results may be obtained, and how do they compare these results from these different sources? So you're not evaluating a website only to itself, you are evaluating also into the wider world. And here is a slide that I put together, all these as a graph, and that summarized the main criteria for website evaluation. We have the idea, the notion of quality, and we evaluated in terms of a content being coverage, accuracy, timeliness, in terms of the users and use, audience need, appropriateness, in terms of functionality, navigation, features, outputs, and so on, in terms of effort, and using it, and learning it, in time and cost, in terms of access, availability, persistency, links, in terms of treatment, content, layout, visualizations, in terms of authority, reputation, credibility, in terms of intention, purpose, scope, viewpoint. So the criteria for assessing web quality, the quality of a website, are multiple. Usability is just one. And what we have and what is now a general agreement that they cover the content, the users and use, the functionality, the effort, the access, the treatment, the authority, and the intention. And the whole point about professional searchers and librarians in general is that they are learning to evaluate websites along these criteria, and they're providing these services to the users. It's not only searching of web sources, but their evaluation that becomes a major aspect of the competencies of searchers. Okay, let us now talk about to what end we have evaluation, and I'm going to mention six ends here. I shouldn't have done that, but I've done it. One is to assess and then improve of your search and search results. So evaluation not only of web sources, but of all searching, is done as the main point is to assess what you have done and to improve what you have done. Second is to understand what went on, what went right, what went wrong, what works, what doesn't work, and in your final project, one of the things that you are going to ask to do is to actually summarize that, what went wrong, what went wrong, what would you do different. The third aspect is to communicate with users. You evaluate so that you can explain to the users and get feedback. The users evaluate to communicate back with you, to explain to you, and to give you feedback. Still another aspect is to gather data for best practices, and conversely to eliminate or reduce bad ones. Searchers are evaluating their outputs so that they can see what works best and then repeat best, and then they can see what doesn't work and then eliminate and reduce the bad ones. So eventually, after such evaluation, the best practices or reduction of bad ones become a part of the searcher's DNA. And evaluation is also done to keep your job, so that you keep better, and even more so, to be keep better and better and better, and that's to advance. And finally, evaluation also done to get satisfaction for a job well done. Okay, this concludes the lecture, but let's look at three sets of pictures. Oh, it doesn't conclude the lecture. I still have conclusions. Well, evaluation is a complex task, but it's also an essential part of being an information professional. It's an essential part of you being a searcher. Evaluation has to be part of what you're doing. Well, as to evaluation, the traditional approaches and criteria still apply, but new ones are added or adapted to satisfy new sources and new methods of access and use, the news, particularly in relation to the web. Well, evaluation skills are growing in demand, particularly because web is value neutral. And it is also a great professional skill to sell. It will serve you well if in your resume you also put a line that you are building your competencies in relation to evaluation of web sources or evaluation of searches and searching. Okay, now we are coming to the pictures, and the first one is pictures from one of my favorite painters, Norman Rockwell. The second picture, three pictures, and here are different kind of evaluation. I have no idea why I put this one in, but I like the one at the bottom, which shows how a bunny is evaluating sources in a garden patch. But the third one is a real one, and we should all use it in wine evaluation. And here are four set of criteria that are being used in wine evaluation. One is color, second one reflects, third one is nose, and the last one is taste. So there are also possible rewards for evaluation, but you should not bet on it. And here I have a picture of some goodies, cakes, and flowers that you may get on a job well done. Okay, this concludes our lecture on evaluation, and have good evaluating. Bye.